speaker is Sue Collis, a longtime lead organizer with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, who's now gone farther afield and is organizing out of Tiananaga Mohawk territory and beyond. On Thursday night as part of a meeting of the Common Front. Pat, Romeo, folks from the spot were there, folks off the res were there, a woman from Perry Sound getting a group off the ground was also there. I don't mean Perry Sound, I mean Port Dover, sorry. We talked about a lot of things that night, and I'll tell you one thing stuck with me. And I've been thinking about it every day and every night since then. There was a mother there and a daughter. And about a month ago, the Children's Aid Society came to their home. They came there looking for a 15-year-old, quote-unquote, ward of the state babysitter. And when they found her, they took that back and the two young children, 9 and 11, that she was watching. When the mother was finally able to get her kids back, they came home saying that they wanted locks installed on their bedroom doors. This government took the security of those children away from them. It stripped them of feeling safe in their home with their family. In 1999, Janet Ecker was the Minister of Community and Social Services. She brought in the family, she changed the Family Protection Act to the Child Protection Act. In 1999, there were 7,000 kids who were not in their home. Today, there's 18,000 and 13,000, count that, 13,000 of them are Aboriginal children. When that mother had finished telling her story, her daughter got up. She hasn't seen her 3-year-old son and her 1-year-old son, who was nursing, for a month. Because the same shit happened to her. And then the woman whose house we were in talked about how it's happening all over the reserve. That's the reality, and I'm thinking we're standing here on Father's Day, and I bet you anything that there's some men out here in the crowd here tonight who've got some heavy thoughts on their mind. You know, we don't know. Nobody knows the stories of the homeless people unless we know them. You know, you don't know what it is that can shatter a life. And when you're dealing with a First Nations community, you're shattering a life, you're shattering the kids, you're shattering the mom, you're shattering the dad, and you're shattering the community. That's what this government is responsible for. Now, there are no concessions that can be made that can make those kids feel safe again. There's no demand that can be met by this government that can say, it's okay, I don't need that lock on my door no more. No. We talk about demands here tonight, and we talk about the fact that they haven't been met. You know, well, that's true. And I hear sometimes people getting all, you know, demoralized or depressed or, oh God, what are we going to do? Or is this really the right course of action to be taking? Or is this going to work? I don't think it matters one sweet fuck if it's going to work or not. You know, there's no ease. There's no ease of life for them kids. There is no choice. You know, we decide whether we're in or whether we're out. And when we decide that we're in, we bring the skills and the resources that we have to the table. And they stay at the table. That is our responsibility if we understand what's going on. And we talk a lot about June 15th, and, you know, I think for me, there's two great actions of you know, fairly recent occurrence that I'm reminded of. June 15th for sure. You know, that was one of them. Gaetan said to the news afterwards that that was a proud day. And it was a proud day because people stood up and they fought and they defended themselves. And when the cops thought that they were going to, you know, clear the lawn and send people fleeing, that didn't happen because people stood their ground. But I also think, you know, I don't feel so comfortable commemorating it. There was nothing magic about the day, June 15th. The product of the shit that comes down from the government, the anger of the people, and the organizing that went into that, and the leadership that was given on that day. That's what that is. That's all it is. You know, Kristen says there's no reason that we can't do it again. Well, there isn't. But I tell you what I find especially sweet about days like June 15th, about days like Jim Flaherty's office, June 12, 2001, where a small handful of people went in and proceeded to throw his stuff on the street, his filing cabinets, his microwave, the zillions of pamphlets he had describing to landlords how best to kick their tenants out. And that is that it causes fear in the government. It causes them to feel unsettled. It causes them to feel a sense of loss of control. You know, my partner, shortly after that Flaherty action, was traveling. At that time, he was organizing among different reserves all over Ontario, hearing the kind of stories that I talked about tonight. And he had one elderly woman say to him one time, sitting at the kitchen table, saying, you know, when I first saw that on TV, I didn't really understand. I didn't really understand what it was all about. And then I saw Jim Flaherty on TV, and he was crying about it. And I understood for one fleeting passage of time that he was made to feel something of the pain that we live with every day. And I'm proud that we were able to do that.
We know the pain of the next election.
People, as did June 15th, that while they might be suffering, it sure as hell wasn't alone. You know, that people were standing up and that people were fighting and that there was a place for them in that too. So, when we talk about the common front, you know, there's been meetings, there's been the beginnings of action throughout this province. KW, Belleville, Port Dover, Sudbury. We're so much stronger than we were a couple years ago when we set out to pull this stuff together. It seems to me that, you know, perhaps Eve has enjoyed a bit of a lapse. You know, he was never elected premier. He was essentially appointed, right? Because he was elected only by the Tory delegates. He's never had to face the people. Well, it's time now to face the people. And he's given us a unique opportunity. There is no election call right now, but there is a platform. There's a sick, disgusting platform that the folks from the spot talked about and are absolutely right. He's talking about reintroducing a vagrancy law, legislation that will enable and empower police to pull people off the street and put them where? Well, he hasn't spelled that out. But it doesn't strike me as too different from, you know, the dog catcher going around and pulling people into the dog pound. And I tell you, I see the people who came out tonight, Colonel, and Randy, and April, you know, people that we know, people that have shared their lives with us. And there's no goddamn way. And I'm sure you all agree with me when we say there's no goddamn way that anyone is going to try to treat these people like dogs and be proud of them. Let me close by saying simply this, that for the 17-year-old Mohawk woman from Tinanega, where I live, who came home in February of this year and told her mother that she was drugged and raped. For her, you know, and the OPP lead investigating officer who, when taking her mother's statement, told her that all girls lie. For that woman, there is no justice in this system. For Dudley George. For Dudley George, who was shot by the OPP only after their informant confirmed that, in fact, the people in the park were unarmed. For him, there's no concessions that this government can make. There is nothing that will bring him back. For Kimberly Rogers, as John mentioned, the woman who, after, in her death, they tried to slur by saying that she was taking drugs when it turned out to be antidepressants. For her, there's nothing. There's no justice in us putting forward a series of demands to this government. There's nothing but punishment and retribution that is justice for her. And for Brian Boyd and Leanne and Smokey,